My message is taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 23, and I'm just going to read those words to you now. John chapter 20, verses 1 to 23. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Amen. Quite a long reading, but I just wanted to reflect on it for a few moments. So at the beginning of chapter 20, we have Mary Magdalene going to the tomb and finding that the stone has been removed from the entrance. She doesn't enter the tomb because they were regarded as unclean places by Jewish law, and so Jewish people were not to go into a tomb which has had a dead body in it. Instead, she runs back to where the disciples are all staying and tells Peter and John that somebody must have stolen Jesus' body because it is no longer there in the tomb. There is then a race for the tomb in verses 3 to 9 between Peter and John. Now John, being the younger man, gets to the tomb first, but he doesn't go in. Peter may be slower, but he's more confident, and he is still the leader of the disciples. So when he arrives, he goes straight in to the tomb. In verses 7 and 8, we read that he sees the strips of linen that had been around Jesus' body and the separate cloth that had been around his head. Then John goes in as well, and we have these tantalizing words at the end of verse 8. He saw and believed. What caused him to believe? Well, we'll come back to that question a little bit later. But we then have an encounter in the garden in verses 11 to 18. Mary Magdalene has obviously gone back to the tomb to look for Jesus' body. As she looks into the tomb, she sees two angels, although there's actually no indication that she knows who she's talking to. They ask her why she's crying in verse 13, and she replies, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him." Before the angels can answer, Jesus is stood behind her in verse 15 and asks the same thing. She obviously turns to him, but she doesn't recognize who it is. In fact, she thinks it's the gardener. But then Jesus says her name, and she knows who is speaking to her. When Jesus identifies her, that is when she knows who is speaking to her. At this point in our Bibles, in verse 17, our Bibles give us the phrase, "Do not hold on to me." The Greek verb here is more accurately translated, "Do not keep holding on to me." So Jesus may have allowed Mary to throw her arms around him. Let's be honest, who could have resisted doing so? But he cuts short this embrace because he needs her help. He tells her, "Go instead to my brothers and tell them what happens next." So now we come to Jesus' first appearance to his disciples. Let me just read verse 19 again. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus' first appearance to a group of his disciples was during lockdown. Now, John is very understated in how he describes this incident. He simply says, the room was locked, and yet Jesus simply appears amongst them. Jesus actually does this again in verse 26, when he challenges Thomas a week later. And on another occasion, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus chooses to disappear supernaturally. That's in Luke chapter 24, verse 31. Let's go back for a moment to our earlier question. Those words at the end of verse 8, where John says of himself, as he looked into the tomb, he saw and believed. What was it that he saw that convinced John to believe? Well, many Bible experts think that the way that the tomb was left after Jesus' resurrection was part of what convinced John. They point out that the words lying there that we read in verse 6 can actually be translated as collapsed there. Collapsed there, that is under the weight of 30 kilograms of spices now that Jesus' body has disappeared from those grave clothes. These experts also point out that the word rolled up in verse 7 can also be translated as twirled up, that is, like a turban. The argument they make is that these grave clothes were completely undisturbed, except that Jesus' body had passed through them, right through them, just as Jesus was able to pass through locked doors or locked or thick walls. I think this is the reason Jesus is so keen for his disciples to see his wounded hands and his side. He wants to convince them he's not just a ghost. In Luke's Gospel, in chapter 24, verse 39, Jesus actually tells the disciples to touch his wounds, to prove that he is flesh and blood. I believe that's why he breathes on them in today's reading from John in verse 23. Because ghosts or spirits do not breathe. Jesus' final words to his disciples here are, in verse 23, are for me not a statement that Christians have divine authority to forgive or to condemn someone. Rather, they indicate that anyone who will recognise their need of God's forgiveness already has it. And anyone who will not recognise their need of forgiveness, in reality, condemns themselves. I want to finish this message, this Easter Sunday message to you, by telling you very simply why I believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in his physical resurrection because I have experienced spiritual resurrection in my own life. I've had situations in my life where I've felt that my sense of purpose and my sense of hope and my sense of who I am have felt dead and buried. But I have experienced a resurrection that I know to be God's work in me. I pray that you will know the Lord's resurrection in your life, even during this period of lockdown. That amongst the fear and the confusion that the virus is causing, you will sense God's Spirit bringing new life to you, new hope, new purpose, a new sense of who you are in Christ. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, I am convinced that neither death nor life, we could say, nor any virus, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God's blessing and goodness be with you this Easter time.